This week's Parsha, Parshas Re'eh, the Pasuk tells us, Acharei Hashem Elokecha Teilechon, we have an obligation to walk after the Ribono Shel Olam. And then the Pasuk adds off and says, Uvo Sidbakun, and we have an obligation to be Dovuk, to be connected with Him as well. So Rashi says on that Pasuk, Hadbeik Bidracha, we have an obligation to try and emulate His ways. Gemol Chasadim, that we have an obligation to be Gomel Chesed, the same way the Ribono Shel Olam is Gomel Chesed. Kivar Mason, we have an obligation to bury the dead, and Bakir Cholim to be Mevakir Chola, Kemosha Asa HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Says Rashi, the same way that God Himself did all of those activities, so too we have an obligation to do the very same. Now the truth is, this is really a Gemara Mesechas Sota, Daf Yud Dalet, where the Gemara tells us, Achri Hashem Elokecha Teilechon, we have an obligation, as mentioned in our Parsha, to walk after Hashem, V'chi Efshelo Lahadam Lahalech Achar Hashchina. Can I get that close to God's presence? Can I really walk right behind Him? V'halo kvar nemar, doesn't it say, ki Hashem Elokecha Eish Ochlahu, that God is some sort of fire, and anyone who gets too close, le'irani ha'adam achai, we're not able to experience God so close to Him? Ella says, the Gemara, what it means is, lahalech achar midosav shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It means we have an obligation not to literally walk in His proximity, but to try and emulate His ways. Mahu malbish arumim, just like God clothes those who don't have any clothing. Dechsev ayas Hashem Elokim la'adam u'le'ishto ksonas ar v'yalbishem. God made clothing for Adam and Chava. Afata halbish arumim. So too we have an obligation to clothe those who do not have clothing. HaKadosh Baruch Hu bikur cholim, God went ahead and was mevakar chola, as we find by Avraham Avinu. After the Bris Milah, God comes to visit him. Afata bakir cholim. So too, says the Gemara, we have an obligation to imitate the ways of God and to also be Mevakar Cholim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu Nichem Avelim. God is Menachem Avel, as it says, Vayhi Acharei Mos Avram Vayivarech Elokim Es Yitzchak Beno. So too, says the Gemara, we have a personal obligation of Nichem Avelim. Says the Gemara, Darash Rav Simloi, Torah Tchilas HaGemilas Chasadim Besof HaGemilas Chasadim. The Torah is filled with Gemilas Chasadim. The beginning of the Torah begins with Gemilas Chasadim, and the end of the Torah is completed with Gemilas Chasadim as well. How do we know? Because in the beginning it says that God goes out of His way to make clothing for Adam and Chava. And the end of the Torah it says, Vayikvar Osa Bagai, that God is involved, He engages Himself, so to speak, in the burial of Moshe Rabbeinu. So you see, those are the bookends of the Torah. That's obviously an important theme of Torah, that Gemilas Chasadim is something that we put a extremely important emphasis on. So the Medrash says, on Moshe Rabbeinu, when his name was given, Vatikra Shemo Moshe, right, his name was given to him by Basia, by the daughter of Paro. So the Medrash says there, Mikana Talamid, from here you see, Schar Shol Gomle Chasadim. You see the Schar that is given to a person that is willing to be a Gomle Chesed. Afal Pisha Harbe Shemos Hayilo LeMoshe. As we know, Moshe Rabbeinu was given many names, and none of them are the ones that he goes down in history as. Lo nikva lo shem b'chol ha-Torah ela kemo shekaraso basya basparo. The only one that becomes memorialized, the only one that goes down in history as the real authentic name is Moshe. Va'af HaKadosh Baruch Hu lo kara b'shem acher. Even when HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself is trying to refer to him, he calls him Moshe. Why? Because that was the name that was given by Basya, and because she engaged in a chesed, and she, as a result of that chesed, gave Moshe Rabbeinu that name, he goes down in history by the name that she gave him, even though she was an Egyptian princess, and maybe we should have chosen a different name, but because we give schar to a gomel chesed. And finally, the Pirkei de Rabbi Lezer tells us, Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu l'malachei asheris. God speaks to their malachim and he says, Bo v'nigmol chesed la'adam harishon uli azro. We should go out of our way and give chesed and do kindness for Adam harishon. Shal midas gemilas chesedim ha'olam omed. Because the Torah stands on this midah of Gemilas Chasadim. How do we know? Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Chaviva Gemilas Chasadim, the midah of Gemilas Chasadim, of doing things for others that are in need, is greater mizvachim va'olo sheyisrael asidim lahakriv lefanei al gabei hamizbeach. Those are worth more to me than all of the karbanos that the Jewish people are going to bring in future generations. As the Pasuk says, Ki chesed chafatzdi v'lo zebach. God wants to see that we are kind people. God wants to see that we're willing to be gomle chasadim for others the same way He was for Adam HaRishon and for Moshe Rabbeinu and for Avraham Avinu and Yitzchak. So too, God expects of all of us, as we see in our parsha, Acharei Hashem Elokecha Teilechon, to emulate His ways and to do the very same. Now, one of those practical applications that the Gemara gives is we have an obligation to be Mevakar Chole, we have an obligation to be Kovra Mesim, we have an obligation to be Menachem Avel. Those are all under the general umbrella of Gemilas Chasadim, which we learn from HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself. What I'd like to talk about the next couple of minutes before Mincha is some aspects of Bikur Cholim. We have an obligation to be Mevakar Choleh. Very often there are people who are not Mevakar Choleh in the proper way, simply because they might not be aware of what the guidelines are of Bikur Cholim. So let's begin as follows. The Rambam writes in Hilchos Avel, HaNichnas Levakar HaSacholeh, somebody who comes in to be Mevakar HaCholeh, to visit the sick. Lo yeshev, lo agabi mita, you shouldn't sit on the bed. Velo agabi kise, not on a chair. Velo agabi safsol. Velo agabi makom gavoa. Velo lamala merashosav. A person who walks in to be Mevakar HaCholeh, sometimes you sit in a place that's just inconvenient for the Choleh to look at you. The Choleh is lying in the bed, and you're going to go sit on the comfortable sofa that's on the other side of the room. They're not going to be able to talk to you. They're going to have to strain themselves to go out of the way to have a conversation. Says the Rambam, be realistic when you come to be Mevakar HaCholeh. Make sure you sit in a place that is convenient, not for yourself, but make sure you situate yourself in a place that is convenient for the Choleh. Ela Misate V'yoshev L'mata Mirashosev, you should sit underneath the Choleh's head, not literally, but it means in a place where he can speak to you. And then the Rambam says, Umevakesh Alav Rachamim, one has to make sure to be Mevakesh Rachamim V'yotze, and you leave. Now number one, Rav Chaim Soloveitchik pointed out, why does the Rambam have to say, and you leave? Of course you leave. After you do anything, you leave. That we have to learn, you come to shul to daven mincha, and after you finish davening, you go home. Of course you go home. You're not going to sit in shul the rest of the day. Every time we engage in a mitzvah, it's not going to last forever. So what does the Rambam mean, v'yotze? So Rav Chaim Soloveitchik very astutely pointed out that in case you've ever been, unfortunately, the choleh, and people have come to visit you, there are times when you're just ready to take the person and throw them out of the room, said Rav Chaim. People don't know that you're not supposed to stay for too long. There's a limited time when the choleh has an interest in seeing you, and then there comes a point where you've overstepped your boundaries. And says Rav Chaim, that's what the Rambam means here when he says, you have a mitzvah of Bikur Cholim, and it's a very wonderful mitzvah, and it's a gevaldike chesed, and it's great. But don't forget, part of the mitzvah is v'yotze. You have to know when it's time to leave. You're not supposed to sit there forever. You have to know that there's a limited amount of time that the Choleh can handle the company, and then it comes a time when it's your obligation to leave. But what the Rambam does right here is more important, and that is when one is Mevakar Choleh, part of the nature of the mitzvah is Mevakesh Alav Rachamim, that you have to offer a tefillah while being Mevakar Choleh. And it's very important to do so. This is something that the Rishonim write. This is something that the Shulchan Aruch quotes as well. That we have to make sure to be Mevakesh Alav Rachamim, to offer a tefillah when visiting a Choleh. And if you don't do that, the Rama says, Kol Shebiker Velo Bikesh Alav Rachamim. Anyone who goes to a hospital to visit a sick person and doesn't take the opportunity to ask for mercy, to offer a tefillah, Lo Kiyim HaMitzvah. You have not fulfilled your obligation of Bikur Cholim, because part of the important aspect of the mitzvah is not just to visit, not just to check up on how he's doing, but also to offer a tefillah on behalf of the Choleh. Rav Huttner pointed out, for the Chaim Berliner in the room, Rav Huttner pointed out, I seem to remember it's printed in the Sefer Zikaron LePachad Yitzchak, so he writes that why do we use the Lashon, the terminology of Bikur Cholim? That sounds like a strange word to be using. So he says Bikur doesn't just mean to visit. Livaker also means to look into. Like we have Bikur HaKarbanos, you have to look into a carbon and make sure that you study it before you bring it to the Beis HaMikdash to find that there's no blemishes, that there's no mum. So too over here, Rav Huttner pointed out that when we have an obligation of Bikur Cholim, it doesn't just mean to visit Livaker, but it also means the second meaning of Livaker, that we have an obligation to look into all of the needs of the Choleh. So when we get there, we don't just come in, do our duty, talk to the Choleh and leave. You have to look around and make sure, is the bed clean? Do they need any new food? Is there something that's lacking in the home of the Choleh or wherever they may be? Is there something I can provide that perhaps is not being done without me? That's part of our obligation of Bikur Cholim, not just to visit, but also livaker, to investigate and to make sure that the Choleh has everything that they possibly could need. So this is a very important halacha, that we have an obligation not only to visit, not only to investigate, but also like the Rama and the Ramban and many Rishonim say, also to make sure that we offer a tefillah on behalf of the person who is sick. Where does that come from? It comes from a Gemara in Meseches Moed Katan, where the Gemara tells us on Daf Hey, V'tamei Tamei Yikra, that when a person has something wrong, when a person is going through a difficult circumstance, they should tell other people. Tzarech sheyodiyo tzara l'rabim. You should share that with other people. Naturally, we generally try to keep our pain and suffering inside. We don't like to share it. But the Gemara says the proper attitude is that we should share it. Why? Kidei sheyuvakshu rachamim alav. In order that these other people, our friends, our neighbors, our community, will be mevakish rachamim on our behalf when they find out that we are going through something difficult. And the Gemara tells us this in a number of places, that we should try our best to make sure to share our suffering with others. Not to make them depressed, not to make them sad, but to give them the opportunity to daven on our behalf. So when we go to be mevakir chola, we have an obligation not only to visit, not only to investigate, but also to offer a tefillah. Now the Gemara says in Maseches Brachos, kala mevakesh rachamim al chavero, whenever somebody is offering a tefillah on behalf of someone else who is sick, ein tzarach sheyazkir lo shem. You don't have to mention the name of the chola in the tefillah. Shenemar, as the pasuk says by Moshe Rabbeinu, what happens? His sister gets sick, and now he goes and he's offering a tefillah on her behalf that she should get better. But what is that tefillah? All he says is a five-word tefillah. Kel na, refa na la. And he doesn't mention the name of his sister. He just says, in the abstract, I ask that the Ribbono Shel Olam should have mercy and that he should offer and grant a refuah to my sister. But he doesn't say who it is. So the Gemara tells us here that it seems that we don't have an obligation because God knows who we're talking about. When we offer a tefillah, God knows exactly who we're referring to, and therefore we assume there is no reason to mention the name of the chola. However, the Gemara in other places seems to indicate that we have an obligation to specify a tefillah as much as we possibly can. We are supposed to be mefari. Like the Magen Avraham quotes from the Zohar HaKadosh, what is the tefillah that Yitzchak offers when he's afraid of his brother? What does he say? Hatzileni na miyad achi miyad Esav. Why does he say miyad achi miyad Esav? He doesn't have another brother. He should have either said miyad achi from my brother, or miyad Esav. Why does he have to repeat himself twice? So the Zohar HaKadosh learns from here, and that's quoted in the Magen Avraham Lahalacha, that whenever a person offers a tefillah, the best way to offer a tefillah is to specify the tefillah as much as one possibly can. So that's why Yitzchak Avinu says, I asked the Ribbono Shel Olam to save me not only from my brother, but from Yitzchak, and he specifies as much as he can in the tefillah, and that's the most proper way to offer. So that's the question the Magen Avraham asks. On the one hand, the Gemara says that you don't have to mention the name of the chole, like Moshe Rabbeinu doesn't mention the name of his sister. On the other hand, we're told that you are supposed to try and specify as much as possible the name of the chola and everything that there is and all the details of the case that you need help with, because that's what we learned from Yitzchak Avinu. So which one is it? So the Magen Avraham answers the question and he says, it depends whether it's a chola befanav, depends whether you're offering the tefillah in front of the person, where in that kind of scenario it's obvious who you're davening for and what you want, as opposed to a situation where most of the time, like we're davening in shul, we offer Mishaberach L'cholim, or we daven Rifa'inu, it's not good enough just to say that we want that the Cholim should have a refuah. We should try and specify as much as we can the details of that Cholah. And that's the answer that the Magen Avraham gives, and that's generally the accepted opinion that we generally follow, that when you are in front of the Cholah, and you're being Mevakar Cholah, and you're offering a tefillah while in the hospital, you should offer a tefillah, but without mentioning the name, because it's obvious who you're talking about. However, when you're offering a tefillah, shalo b'fnei ha-chola, that's where we say that you should try and specify as much as possible. And this gets us into a discussion which just came up recently in the shul as well. It comes up all the time, unfortunately. Sometimes you have children who are born, and they are preemies, and they're not able to have a bris milah at the proper time. And the question is, so they're in the hospital, and they call them either male or female, whatever it is. Sometimes the parents haven't yet given a name, because naturally we give a name at the time of the bris milah. The Matan Moshe writes that we learned that from Avraham Avinu, that he had a name. He was only called Avraham after his bris milah. So too, we have the practice that we give a name at the time of a bris milah. But what if you have a child who's not going to have a name on the eighth day, and the child is sick in the ICU or whatever it might be? What is the practice then? Do we wait until a few months from now in order to give a name? Or perhaps we should give it earlier? It is documented that there are many, many Gedolim from the last generation who felt that the proper way to act in that kind of situation is to give the name early on. Why? For a number of psychological reasons that they offered, but reason primarily that Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach and others give is because there was a concern. We're going to be having to daven for this person, for this child, because the child needs a refuah. What are we going to say? How are we going to specify that tefillah? What are we going to say in the tefillah? And therefore, many of the gedolim of the previous generation felt that the proper way to handle that situation is to give a name, even though it's a strange thing to do. There has not yet been a bris milah, but the proper thing to do is to give a name. This way it gives us the opportunity to daven in the right way. Aside from all the other factors that they mentioned, that once you give a name, then the doctors treat the child like a real child. They don't just treat the child like a sick patient. And all different reasons that they give, but the one of the primary reasons that's given is because we want to make sure that we have the opportunity and the ability to daven for this person. Because as we mentioned, the Shulchan Aruch says, the Ramah tells us, if we don't have, during the opportunity of Bikur Cholim, if we don't have the chance to offer a tefillah, we really have missed out on much of the mitzvah, much of the experience that Bikur Cholim is supposed to avail us the opportunity to do. So that's a very important mitzvah that is learned from this week's Parsha. It's something to think about. Whenever we're Mevarkei Cholim, whenever we have the opportunity to perform that tremendous mitzvah of Gemilas Chesed, to make sure that we do it right. Number one, like Reb Chaim says, to make sure that the Rambam mentions V'yotze, when it's time to leave from the visit, we know that it's time to leave, and we don't stay there for an extended period of time past the time that we should be there. Number two, the Ramah says we have an obligation not only to visit, not only to be mevaker and investigate and see what's going on, but also to make sure that we offer a tefillah on the occasion of doing so. And number three, to make sure that when we offer that tefillah, it is done in the proper way. When it's befana, when it's in front of the chola, there's no need to mention a name. But when it's shalom befana, when it's not in front of the